The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12 midday on Man in Line. Well, the Balaton course has now reopened. It will close again at 1 o'clock this afternoon till 20 to 4 at the latest for the pre-TT racing. All the coverage on AM 1368, but it is open at the moment, closed at 1. Mountain roads closed from 4:45 from Barul Park and 5 o'clock from the bungalow. And the rest of the TT course from 6 o'clock till no later than 9. So don't get caught out. Make sure you plan your route. Balaton reopened, is open now, but closes again at 1. That's the important thing to note around the south of the Isle of Man. So I just wonder how your first weekend has gone with some motorbikes back on the island. It's just like old times, isn't it? Luckily, everything has appeared to be trouble-free so far, so we just keep our fingers crossed for the rest of the fortnight. Howard's with us first on Man in Line. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just to give your listeners a bit of a smile on a Monday morning, I was looking through my paper this morning, the Daily Mail, and it's on page 29. It looks very much like the people that done the drawings, plans, etc. for our promenade have had a holiday down in Worthing in West Sussex, because the side street coming off what appears to be their promenade is covered in wiggly lines.
Oh, they've got a roundel.
Well, it's not quite a roundel, because they've actually made it traffic-free and then put bollards up to stop any traffic possibly getting in, and some form of seating. But then they've just, looks like a fella's had a white line painting machine and was drunk because he just staggered all over the place.
That was free expression, you mean?
Well, that's what they call it as, but the swirly white lines, which have at least proved a hit with the skateboarders and rollerblades, but it's a blot on the landscape, most people are calling it, and it's cost £178,000.
Well.
So if anybody's, they go online, they can look at that. It's down in Worthing in West Sussex, and we thought the promenade was bad, but this is despicable. This is why we can't get any white lines painted on our roads now, because they're busy doing all these squiggles down there.
Fantastic. It was free expression. That's great. Thanks, Howard.
Okay, we'll give a smile for a Monday anyway.
Appreciate that. Thanks for that. Well, Worthing in West Sussex, famous for many things now, free expression with road paint. You never know. They could frame our roundels at one point. They could become urban art, couldn't they? Call it a Jackson Pollock. And it'll probably be worth a fortune. People will pay to take it away. You never know, do you? Well, the public deserves to know what's gone wrong with Douglas Promenade, apparently. So says the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall. The works now near their completion. Can you believe it? The prom is nearly... I don't want to jinx it, but it's nearly finished. How much work's got to be done? Will the horse trams run this year? Here's Tim Crookall, MHK.
We are getting there, and hopefully by the end of the next couple of days, we'll see that we'll see that done, if you like. So hopefully then we'll be getting ready for the trams to run towards the end of July. If all goes according to plan, we'll probably see 10 or 12 weeks of the horses on the prom for this year. We've got to have the railway inspectors report on the tram lines themselves. And then I've said I'll get another report done after that just to make sure. But it looks as though it could well happen this year, yeah. I still think there are issues with it. But, you know, this TT will be an absolutely telling time for us, and we'll be able to, you know, see how it works now. But I actually think it's still quite quiet out there. I think a lot of people do avoid it now, to be honest with you. And I don't know whether it's the roundels. I don't know whether they find it's quite narrow in places, it's quite awkward, or whether they've just found other routes during the last 2 to 3 years that people are happier coming in that way rather than coming along the promenade. It will get busier over the next fortnight, that's for certain.
Is there going to be a full sort of investigation after the scheme is finished, the promenade scheme is finished. Are we going to actually ever get to find out fundamentally where the problems were and hopefully learn some lessons from what has gone wrong?
I would absolutely expect that the Public Accounts Committee would pick this up. I mean, obviously they talked to us about it on our annual chats with them, but I would imagine they would say, you know, they're going to look into it, you know, from day one and just see, you know, we don't know what the expenditure is going to be yet. We've got a rough idea. We'll have that figure in July. Whether I'll get to July, Tim, whether that or not, probably October for the overspend on that. But I would absolutely expect PAC to pick that up and do a full inquiry into it. And as you say, find out where we went wrong, where the overspend was and all sorts of things. And the public deserve that, to be honest with you. We've had 3.5 years of the businesses down there that have suffered. And they're due that explanation.
Tim Crookall, MHK. I'll just ask you one thing as a man in line listener. Do you think it's worth it? Not the prom. I mean, do you think it's worth going back over and finding what went wrong, what the mistakes were, what the problems were, who was responsible? Do you think it's going to get us anywhere? I mean, the Public Accounts Committee is paid come what may, but do you think it's worth, do you think we should now move on from this and just accept the prom as it is? Or do you think there are, I mean, I loathe using the phrase, but lessons to be learned? Do you think they could compile a report without saying moving forward in the future? So is it worth it, do you think? And I think I've asked this before, but I'll ask it again if you would. If you have guests, friends, relatives over from anywhere in the world who are coming for TT, over, you know, breakfast or evening meal, ask them if they've noticed any difference. Do they... you know, what do they think of the Isle of Man at the moment? Is it better or worse compared to when they were last here? Have they noticed? Because we're obviously face to face with what's happened on the promenade. It's been our kind of living nightmare for 3 years now. We know what it is. And certainly if you have a business on the promenade, a literal living nightmare. So, but if you would, if you ask any of your friends or relatives or your guests what they think of the Isle of Man and if they've noticed... Just get us a bit of perspective on that. David's on Man in Line now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. The simple answer is yes. The Public Accounts Committee but should have done by now engage with the department to suck up that information. The biggest word I'll say to people out there is variations to contract. You need to know how many variations to the original contract there were. And each of those variations has to be signed off by an officer or somebody senior, and it has to have a value to it. So, for instance, changing the points, remember that? There'll be a variation probably to contract on that because they weren't particularly right. There'll be a value on it. It needs to be signed off. And the other thing, don't forget, they forgot the traffic lights.
Oh, yes. Remember? Yes. Yes.
Never mind the Randalls with all the little cones. It's going to be called Cone City now, I think, not Douglas. Cone City. Because they've now tried to attempt to funnel people in a different direction, haven't they? Or to try and slow us down. That was the biggest, before Mr. Crookall's time, actually, the previous minister. One of them was Mr. Gorn, who wanted to bring in to slow the traffic down to 20 miles an hour so you could just wander across the promenade. And you know that's, you know, dangerous, and they put those brown strips in.
Yeah,
the crossings are far...
What surprised me is if they'd said at the beginning, David, if they'd said, look, this is going to be really different, this is a giant traffic calming measure, but they never said it.
They did at the very beginning before they went to planning. Don't forget... Planning had to then do certain things because they wanted the harebrained scheme to put the horse trams on the promenade walkway. There was documentation on that. The department were vociferous to try and get it on there. And the public opinion at the public inquiry, I sat there with Bruce Hanney. And Bruce Hanney was shaking his head. And he wasn't in the department then. He was an ordinary citizen, Douglas ratepayer. And he was shaking his head all the time of... what they were trying to do. They haven't even looked at safety for the particular issue. So when Tim talks about the safety audit, what we need is a safety audit, not only on the horse cars or the promenade itself, and how it's come to that. It needs to be independent. And I'd say to Mr. Watson, it's about time you actually told us what are you doing, because you're the Public Accounts Committee. There's nothing stopping them having an interim statement that we've inquired at every department. They're being fruitful with their answers, or they're being, the doors have been shut. We'll have to see.
I wonder, and just tell me, I mean, you've seen government reports before. You've seen, you know, you know how they work. What can you get out of a government report? I mean, apart from perhaps a few names, perhaps a few figures, what comes of it? The public often ask, you know, there's a report, it comes out 9 months later, and by that time, everybody's forgotten.
Yeah, the major thing you need to do, we need to pick up things like what are they doing wrong? Are they jumping over financial regulations? Don't forget the money that was allocated for the horse cars to go to the sea terminal was, I would think, has been used elsewhere. Now, how was that done without going back to Timbald and asking for approval? It's like you being in a club or an organisation and you say to your members, don't you? Oh, we forgot about this. We should have done something in there. Yeah. And you go back to your members and they say, okay, I'm holding my hands up to finish the job. We need to do this or we need to do that or the other. And they all vote for it and they're all in it together.
Two questions, David. Do you want the horse trams to go to the sea terminal, and do you think they'll eventually go to the sea terminal?
I think they will, and I personally want them there. Single track. There was always, it was ludicrous trying to have two tracks there. Passing loops or whatever they call them on the single track would be fine. We don't have many of that horse cars going up and down that much. So they're timed, don't they? And the beautiful thing is Douglas Corporation, government bought all the property. Remember? Horse cars, Strathallan. And who picked up the tab? The Manx taxpayer.
Yes. All right. Thanks, David.
Ta-da.
I appreciate that. Hi, Andy. Tim Cruckles claimed that the promenade's nearly finished. It isn't. The walkway needs to be done from end to end. And in case Tim's forgotten, the horse tram track needs to go from Broadway to the sea terminal, says Dave. Well, we'll see. And a message in from, Ronnie, who just said, if the horse trams are going to go where they are at the moment, that wild strip next to the gardens, the trams will be going at the back of parked cars. So how are they going to make sure that nobody overhangs? Occasionally you get commercial vehicles, large vans, that park. What happens if they park over the limits and you can't get the horse tram past it? Or perhaps somebody doesn't notice that the horse trams are coming and tries to perhaps reverse a car or get into the boot of their car. Has anybody thought about that? No, that possibly they may not have done, but there'll be a report on it, and we'll see. Could anybody tell me, says this correspondent 008, who told the big cruise ship to drop anchor in Port St Mary? There's nothing here. Well, don't know about that. There's plenty in Port St Mary. But we haven't had a photo of the big cruise ship. If you're in the south and you've got a photo of it, then by all means send it to us. You can WhatsApp or you can email. Who's going to refurbish the prom walkway? That's a disgrace, says this correspondent. And a note in from Wally, who just said, have we found out the real reason there's no fun fair on Douglas Promenade? It's because there's a 10-day pop concert. And it wouldn't have done to have the fun fair blaring out their music while the pop concert was on. Well, I think it's time they sorted out the bus problem on Pullrose Bridge. They've made it 20 miles an hour. I think they should just admit they made a mistake and put the bus stop back where it was. If you catch the bus on around Pullrose Bridge, is that still an issue at the moment? Again, if you can take a photo of the kind of configuration of it, it will put it into a better picture. It's an investigation is only of value if people get sacked, says G. Not resign or retire to protect their pensions. What do you think about this? Government reports come and go. We hear it all the time about something that's been you know, there's been a foul up or something's gone wrong or it's gone over budget, and in comes the government report. Could be chaired on the Isle of Man, or they'll pay a fortune to bring somebody over from the UK, put them up in a hotel, pay expenses, chair a report. That goes on for 6 months, and at the end of it, nothing much happens. Is that the way to go forward? We've thrown a lot of money at the prom. Should we just accept it? Or do you think we need to get right to the bottom of it? The prom won't be finished, says Mary, until the walkway's completed. The horse trams go to the sea terminal. It's all thanks to Charles Gard that the prom is getting sorted now. Big cheer to Charles. Charles and his video. Have you seen the other video Charles has been putting out? He's not stopping, is he? Eric's on now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. I rang up last week about the TD Plus app, that you couldn't get it on Apple. Right? I've had it explained to me how to get it on Google, which I did yesterday. Now, last night on the internet, there was hundreds of complaints about it, different things. You couldn't get tuned in and the pictures were breaking up. But I'd just like to say I was on it. And I was out. I wasn't in my house. I was out. And it was absolutely brilliant. The film and that they've got going there and the cameras they've got around the course, it is actually a credit to them that they can do that.
And reception was okay, was it, last night?
Yeah. Mine was okay. It was breaking up, obviously, an odd time, because Wi-Fi does, doesn't it, you know. But you still needed to have Manx Radio commentary on in your ear, and I was just watching the bike, and I had that chap in front of me. But, you know, they followed Hutchinson from Kirkmichael with the helicopter right the way through to the hairpin, and then it went to a camera on the ground, showed them go around there, and then followed them right across the mountain again. You know, I mean, it's brilliant what they're doing there. You'll probably have a lot of people ring up. There were some people complaining the helicopter was hanging about overhead over the house in Kirkmichael, you know, but that's the way it is if you've got a helicopter going, you know. But it was absolutely brilliant and definitely worth $14.99.
Well, I know they've put an awful lot of work into it. There's been lots of scratching of heads in the middle of the night, because I know there were some problems, some teething problems before TT started. But let's just hope everything works for them. They put an awful lot of money into it and a lot of expertise. So
there was a fella on the square here on Saturday trying to get his camera and everything set up. You know, so he obviously spent the whole day there getting that right. You know, but they certainly seem to have got it right. I mean, I don't know what happens later on in the year. You know, and you'll probably get flooded now with people saying they couldn't get connected and they couldn't do this and couldn't do that. You know, well, it might be them. It might be their computers or something that's not doing it. But I certainly had no problem with it yesterday.
Okay, all right. Glad to put that on the record, Eric. Thanks for that.
Okay, thanks.
Cheers now. And Charlie's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, bye. I was a bit premature in congratulating the authorities for getting Marine Drive cleaned up.
In what way?
Well, they've only gone as far as the toll gates, and the rest is like a bomb site.
Just as far as the gate, is that all?
That's all. It looks very tidy and clean as you go on to Marine Drive. But once you get past the toll gates, it's just a bomb site again.
And they've not, because I heard they were a whisper they were going to do some fencing there.
Well, there's no fencing in places. That's why they've left the footpaths to grow so high and rubbish, so people can't get near the boundary.
Well, well, well. So presumably nothing's going to get done while TT's on.
Oh, no. But fair enough. They can waste money on their pet projects, the MHKs, but when it comes to tidying up the island, forget it. The Douglas Corporation have done a nice job from Douglas Head through to the toll gate. But from then on, it's just a mess.
I'm just trying to work out in my head, Charlie, where does Braddon take over on Marine Drive? Because I'm sure part of Marine Drive is Braddon.
It is part of Braddon. I think there's a sign somewhere on Marine Drive. I think it's around about the pigeon stream.
Yeah, I wonder. All right. Okay, all right. Thanks, Charlie. We appreciate that.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for calling us today. Here's Peter with us now. Hi, Peter.
Hello, it's Peter Murcott here. I ration my phone calls to something which I think is of substance. You had an item on this morning about people in public houses, I think in the north of the island, suffering abuse, and somebody even resigning because of this. And the call was to seek to introduce legislation about hate crimes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's intolerable that anybody should suffer abuse, and one has great sympathy, and even more so that anyone should feel it necessary to resign. And that I would make as a very cogent first point. How I would just also draw attention to the fact that I would not advise reaching for hate crimes for a number of reasons. They are a very intrusive and totalitarian restriction on freedom of expression, because hatred in Britain has quickly degenerated into meaning more or less any opinion that someone happens to dislike, which is not the same thing. But to point out that they already have protection, and it'd be far better than reaching for hate crimes that would have to be established in courts anyway. And that's under the Licensing Act 1995, Section 35. And it gives licensees, and I think I'm right in saying it includes also employees as well, the power to ask a person to leave without giving a reason. And if the person refuses to leave without giving a reason, they could, if they so wished, summon police assistance. And there would be a criminal offence if somebody doesn't leave when they're asked to go. Now, the fact that they can ask a person to leave without giving a reason gives them far better protection than any change in the law, for those obvious reasons that they don't have to establish that their reason satisfies a court of law. If they think it's inadvisable a person should stay there, they are quite empowered to say, you must leave, full stop. Now, I would recommend that those people who are the victims of very inappropriate conduct avail themselves of Section 35, which I've just been down to the Tynwald to check that it hasn't been repealed. And as far as I can check, it hasn't.
Section 35, which act was it again?
The Licensing Act 1995, and it's Section 35, subsections 1 and 2. There's quite a lot more in it that I won't go into, but there is already power for people who are working in pubs. If they get someone who is using aggressive, inappropriate language or whatever and is causing trouble, they don't have to establish that the language was in effect, in law, abusive, threatening or whatever, because they can ask the person to leave there and then without giving a reason. And it was explained to me some time ago when this arose that the reason why they put that in the Act was because the public interest requires good order to be kept in public houses. And if they had to give a reason, that reason, when tested before the courts, might prove difficult to substantiate in law. And so the legislature gave them that power so that they could have that overriding interest of maintaining good order. And with that, it shouldn't be necessary for anybody to be recipients of abuse, and they certainly shouldn't have to resign. And moreover, they can refuse entry to people without giving a reason. So if the person's asked to leave and comes back the following day, they can be refused entry.
Peter, so I just wonder if you've got any thoughts on that. I mean, the introduction of the word hate, it's with us now. And I mean, the word hate in itself is inflammatory. So to call something hate speech may often really, put it out of all context to what it actually was. I mean, you talked about abusive language. I mean, foul and abusive language used to be an offence under the Public Order Act at one time. So, and obviously, as you mentioned, a licensee has to maintain an orderly house.
Yes.
So do you think that introducing a hate speech law would be counterproductive or useful?
I think it would be counterproductive for two reasons. One, it's totally unnecessary because they already have what I would say is a cast iron provision there in that one, which means that they wouldn't have to go to court to establish what their reason was, because the law says you don't have to give it. That would give them have very good protection that way. And the second thing is, the trouble is, if you start introducing this question of hate speech, which, alas, has not been defined in law, it will gallop out of control, as has happened in Britain. And before you know where you are, you've got a society that is not too far removed from the German Democratic Republic as once was. And I don't want to see that sort of society coming here. But I do want to see people who are the recipients of totally unacceptable, inappropriate behaviour, we'll call it that, being protected. And in my view, the Licensing Act does protect them. And if they're listening, and I hope they are, I hope that they'll make due inquiries and discover that they don't need to campaign for any changes in the law. They've already got it. They've got very good protection.
Okay, we appreciate that, Peter. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, 27 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Well, this is the story, that pubs in the north of the Isle of Man have taken a collective stand against homophobia, racism, by threatening and abusive patrons. There's going to be a 12-month ban. It comes after a member of hospitality staff quit their job because of the abuse that they'd suffered. That was Peter. So it is under the 1995 Licensing Act, Section 25, subsections 1 and 2, already an offence. I just wonder, do you welcome this move by the Northern Pub Watch? Is this right? And does more need to be done? Possibly more legislation, or just rely on the legislation that we have already? And particularly if you work in a pub, licensed premises, restaurant, pizza bar, whatever you work, or a cafe, how do you cope with abusive clients, abusive patrons? What do you do? Do you threaten them with the law, or do you just use other methods?
You can now fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man to London City up to 10 times a week, and London Heathrow up to 7 times a week, with 15 kilograms luggage allowance as standard and frequent flyer rewards.
Fly with me. I want to take you there. Precious moments of this journey. So we're homeward bound again.
Book today at loganair.co.uk.
You want how much? 1% commission? That's £2,000 to sell my house? That's it. I'm seeing red.
Sick of huge commission fees? Don't get mad. See red. With CG Red, the new service from Cowley Groves, you can sell any house up to £350,000 for a fixed £750 fee. That's a saving of up to £2,750 on what you'd pay with a traditional estate agent.
So go on, see red. Visit cgred.im. They're giving other estate agents a darn good thrashing.
You'll find Subway cafes in Shoprite, Port Erin and Peel offering the very best of Subway. Delicious 6-inch and foot-long subs, breakfast meal deals, signature wraps and salads, as well as gourmet coffee, tea and treats. How about a free drink with any foot-long sub, complete with a smiling welcome and speedy service? Grab and go or chill out in a relaxed cafe environment. The choice is yours. Head to Subway and Shoprite, Peel and Port Erin.
Every drop is precious. Water. So easy to take it for granted, isn't it? Our reservoirs supply the needs of our island, but with the effects of climate change, that's becoming more challenging every year. Manx Water is the only water we have, so we need to make every drop count by using it wisely, at home, in the garden, and in general.
Visit manxutilities.im to find out how you can begin smarter living to lower energy bills and reduce your impact on our island environment.
On Agenda Tonight, Infrastructure Minister Tim Krugel MHK gives a warts and all assessment of his department. It is one of the biggest challenges in Manx politics, and the minister is not unique in struggling to get to grips with this very large and unwieldy government department. We talk about the ongoing issues on the promenade, horse trams, problems at the airport and much more. Minister Krugel certainly has his work cut out, so is he able to deliver your priorities? Find out on Agenda at 6pm this evening on Manx Radio, and there's more on the extended podcast. Plain speaking, Minister, surely that's a good thing.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
23 minutes before one. Thanks for dropping by this lunchtime. John's with us. Hi, John.
Hi. Regarding the pedestrian crossings on the prom, I was asked a question yesterday by someone and I didn't know the answer. If you go from, say, the bottom of Summer Hill to Broadway, various pedestrian crossings, and they've all got zigzag lines before and after. Okay?
Yep.
But when you get to the second magic roundabout at Greensill's Corner, between there and Victoria Clock, you've got pedestrian crossings, but there's no zigzags. And I just wonder why you've got zigzags on half of them, but not on the others.
I wonder. The answer. Are these the kind of unofficial, just raised grey?
No. I'm talking about
the zebra crossings.
I don't know what those bits are for, anyway. But the pedestrian crossings themselves have no zigzag lines before and after on that section of the prom. So I just wonder why some of them have and some of them haven't.
I wonder if anybody knows about this.
Well, I don't know. I can't find the answer, to be honest with you, but it's a long time since I've been retired, so I'm sort of out of touch. Maybe regulations have changed, but I don't know.
Good grief.
Maybe somebody can come up with the answer.
Well, let's hope. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, 22 minutes before one. The promenade's nearly finished. Well, you'll hear Tim Krugel tonight with Phil Gawne, of course, himself a former infrastructure minister. They'll be chatting about that tonight, 6 o'clock on Manx Radio after update. Did you see also, it may be, I don't know whether it's a post-Brexit thing happening, but they may be selling in imperial measures now. Apparently, shopkeepers and shops may be able to sell in pounds and ounces in the future, and pints. And they're putting the crown back on the pint glass as well. It's all changing. It's nothing to do with that. I just thought I'd mention it. Any thoughts on that? Something we've talked about. I've got loads of comments to go through. Then there's something I want to raise with you because I've had a few letters regarding it. Chris said, I was due EasyJet from Gatwick last night, and in view of the problems Sunday, Monday and Tuesday last week, I changed to Liverpool as I was coming from abroad. Liverpool was very quiet and very, very few hold-ups at Liverpool, said Chris. Is it true about EasyJet just cancelling stuff all the time? I know a few people, certainly Mark Tiley was coming back on EasyJet and had a heck of a journey making his way to Liverpool. No problem from Liverpool. It was just in London. It's worth knowing about the promenade, says Kathleen, along with what went wrong with some things during COVID. The Chief Minister said on numerous occasions this government will be open and accountable. Good point, Kathleen. Everybody said that. Everybody in the run-up to the election last year. I don't remember a single candidate saying we should have more government secrecy. They all wanted openness and transparency. How far do you go, I wonder? How far do we need to know? How much do we need to know? How accountable do people have to be? Just a thought. Roundel warning, says this correspondent, 094. Just had a bike coming down Broadway almost on my front bumper. It's still fairly quiet. I can't understand why there's no warning in place. The saving grace is it's a 20-mile-an-hour limit. Here's a question in. I just said, thanks for the excellent coverage of TT. I'll pass this on to our TT colleagues. All the best to you. That's Steve from the Isle of Wight, the AM 1368. For the next 2 weeks, the best biking station in the world. They're all wearing leather. I tried to get on TT Live. They want £20 now. Is that true? Is it £20 now? It was 14 beforehand, wasn't it? I don't see a problem, says Brian in Farm Hill. Don't see a problem with the bus stops on Paul Rose Bridge. I've waited behind buses at those stops. Not a huge number of people getting on or off, so I didn't have to wait long, says Brian. And Jill says, why don't the government pay the workmen by results? If it's not done properly, they don't get paid. Thanks to everybody at Manx Radio for the TT coverage. I'll pass that through to the leather-clad people in the other studio. They're going to kick them out for 12 months from the pubs, says Dave, that correspondent. Marine Drive is the responsibility of local authorities. Douglas City Council have cleared the stretch just beyond the Archers. After that, it's Braddon commissioners who have to get their hands in their pockets, says Dave. The remainder is down to Braddon commissioners for Marine Drive. And Jane said, Andy, the prom fiasco should go to the PAC, the Public Accounts Committee. However, legislation should be brought in to hold civil servants to account. Too much policy and capital projects have been driven through on the whim and fancy of unaccountable forces. I also think everybody was happy with the prom plans years back and the work had started when the Jubilee clock was removed. Is it that long ago? Crikey, it is. So that was when the fiasco began. Actually, says Jane, Phil Gorm was at the DOI when that happened. Well, maybe Phil will clarify that this evening. So were the changes Phil Gorn's ideas? Were they subsequent infrastructure ministers? We had Mr. Harmer, we had Mr. Baker, now we've got Mr. Crookall. I hate the prom, says Jane. It's appalling in so many ways. I agree the TT Life Pass is superb, says Dick. I watched it on my mobile, my iPad, but best of all, watched it on a 65-inch television and on Fire TV on Amazon. 26 cameras around the course give as good a coverage as you'll find at any motorsport event, even Formula One. So I think it's a credit to them. And if you watch the pictures and get the commentary on Manx Radio, it's well worth £14. The coverage is online for a year afterwards. Well, fingers crossed, everything seems to be okay for the moment. So let's just hope all the technology holds up and the coverage is maintained. Why has it taken a private investor to get big stars over to the big stage at 1886? Why did the government not do that and get them to the villa? Well, the Villa Marina Gardens is Bushes, isn't it? And I think Bushes were taking care of that. Government has brought big stars over in the past. I don't know whether you think it's government's job to put on pop concerts, or presumably the private sector are taking a big risk, because you never know what's going to happen, or, you know, reputations of pop stars can change in a few days. But we wish them well at 1886. To follow on from the gentleman, a caller on pubs, says Fiona, I think bar staff need to start refusing to serve people who already seem drunk. They shouldn't serve them more alcohol. I've seen this many times, and then people wonder why there's a problem. I worked in the trade many years and refused to serve more alcohol to someone who already seemed to be very inebriated. It's a tough call, isn't it, Fiona? Some people, let's face it, the licensed trade has taken a battering over the past 2 years. If somebody comes in clearly one over the eight and orders a very expensive drink, it's human nature, isn't it? Would you serve that person or would you turn them away? I take your point, Fiona. You've turned people away as you've been in the trade. So, and particularly, as Peter said, there is legislation already there. The Licensing Act does allow you to throw people out. Sorry, escort people from the premises. Listening to the MUA about water usage, what's the plan for additional water capture and storage with a new reservoir, says Andy. A new reservoir. Where would you put it, Andy? You wouldn't dam the Sulby Valley, would you? Make that even bigger. It's a point, isn't it? And the problems, lots of messages in today. All the problems with government departments, the prom, the ransom tribunal, simply down to the lack of accountability. Perhaps if you know you're not even going to be disciplined, despite negligent or guilty of bullying or perhaps bullying a whistleblower, Accepting resignations of perpetrators, perhaps is that a smokescreen to let them off the hook? There's a lot goes on inside the civil service we know nothing about. Half of the stuff, of course, isn't our business. It's day-to-day running of departments. So I just wonder where you think openness and transparency starts and finishes, where that's concerned. The zigzags are to prevent parking, so maybe Lock Prom doesn't need them, says this correspondent. We'll know, won't we, when TT's over, whether the prom's worked or not, because that certainly is a soak testing for the next 2 weeks with the amount of people that will be going up and down. Regarding the mention of pedestrian crossing, says Liz, could that be Lock Prom is 20 miles an hour, so maybe no need for zigzags, traffic calming, while the rest of the prom is 30 miles an hour? That's why the zigzags are needed. To be fair, trying to work out the logistics of the promenade is a lottery in itself. John was saying that the Isle of Man is lacking tourist advertising and promotion, even regarding the TT. That was John. Is the Isle of Man lacking the trouble is, half the time we won't see the advertising because they advertise in the UK.
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited on 677-888 or email reception at advocates.co.im.
Grill, bake, steam, boil, stir fry, simmer, fry, roast, slow cook, griddle, toast. An Aga can do it all. An Aga isn't just an amazing cooker, it's a way of life. Aga specialist Haldane Fisher can recommend an Aga for every home. Call in store and discover the range and join thousands of owners who love coming home to Aga's warmth, style and practicality. Haldane Fisher for Aga, home to great cooking.
Metabolism presents the ultimate open-air weekender. July 2nd, Fatboy Slim. And July 3rd, Basement Jack's An Example. A complete immersive experience at the Nunnery Estate with support from Crystal Rocks, Patrick Nazmi and DJ Shamu, plus local DJs. Single day and weekend passes available now. For booking and more information, visit metabolism.com. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
For the last 27 years, they've been entertaining and thrilling audiences at local events and thousands of visitors to the Isle of Man TT. They are, of course, the world-famous Purple Helmet Motorcycle Display Team, and this year is going to be their final year performing together. In two special programmes here on Manx Radio, I chat to the voice of the Purple Helmets, Derry Kizik, and Jim Davidson, one of the original members still riding with them today, to share with you some of the wonderful memories of the Purple Helmets. So join me, Simon Clark, for The Helmet's Last Bash, this coming Tuesday at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Thanks for coming to Man in Line today. After one, it's Christy with one to... Is it Christy? Oh, yes, Christy at 1 to 3, and then Chris Quirk. It's all Chris's this afternoon. Belown should be closing again in about 10 minutes' time for racing on the Belown course, all the coverage on AM 1368. The Mountain Road will close progressively from 4:45 from Barul Park, 5 o'clock from the Bungalow, and the rest of the TT Mountain course will be closed from 6 till no later than 9 tonight. So please don't get caught out if you're heading back. 6 o'clock, the rest of the TT course, but from 4:45, Barul Park, 5 o'clock from the Bungalow. Can we remind people, says this correspondent, 109, just because you indicate on a roundel doesn't give you right of way to cross oncoming traffic. It's a shared space. Approach with caution, says Noel. Over 60 members of that cruise ship have enjoyed Castle Rushen this morning. They got the train from Port Erin to avoid road closures and then went to... Castle Rushen. So welcome to those. If you're one of them listening now, shopping around Castletown, good afternoon. Fast am I. Welcome. Just one thing I'm going to ask our government. Are they underwriting the 1886 entertainment on Villiers Square, I wonder, says Terry. It's actually, Fiona, this is actually against the law to serve someone more alcohol if they appear to be drunk. It's not about money, it's about safety. People can be aggressive in drinkers, as we know. Some, when refused, just walk away. Some feel a little aggrieved. And that's where management should manage, and all the bar staff should be told that they're not to serve someone who appears to have already had enough alcohol, says Fiona. I'm amazed we've heard nothing on the radio about Dr. Henrietta Hewitt's retirement with all the useless experts. That's this correspondent's words. Maybe we'll finally get somewhere, says Annie in Ramsey. Well, it was announced Friday, surprisingly, after 5:30. It was announced that Dr. Henrietta Hewitt had taken her retirement and has left her position. Now we've heard it, it's all there. Brian's with us now. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Andy. It's only a little thing. It was a biker caught on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, 110 mile an hour.
I heard about that, yeah.
Road. Yeah. I mean, 110 mile an hour on these big bikes is nothing, is it? You know, let's unmark police car. Now, wouldn't the unmarked police cars be better used on these estates where there's young yobs racing round?
Where was Nick doing 110, by the way?
Yeah, but 110's an out on these bikes. And don't forget, that 50-mile-an-hour zone was only put in there. It wasn't never used to be a 50-mile-an-hour zone. I mean, I think this is totally wrong against these. These people have come over to watch the TT. They're paying, maybe £2,000 to £2,500 to get here, you know, and live here, stay here for the 2 weeks and spend money and be getting prosecuted for this. That guy's lost his licence. It's disgusting. When the police could be better used to get these young yobs in souped-up cars racing round the housing estates.
All right, which housing estate in particular?
That's my little quip for today.
All right, which housing estate in particular?
Well, hang on. A guy was on 2 weeks ago from Williston. He was saying about it.
Mm.
I don't know the fella's name, but he was saying they were doing 60, 70 mile an hour and to 20 mile an hour zone in Williston.
Okay. All right, no, point taken. Thanks for that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 7:01. I just want to get to this because lots of people have been asking in the past few weeks about this. Work on laws which would allow terminally ill adults on the Isle of Man to seek assisted dying has been given the go-ahead. Now, this has been on the back boiler for a long time. Ramsey MHK, Dr. Alex Allenson, received overwhelming support for his private member's bill in the Keys. Just the first step, though, with a public consultation needed before any legislation can be drafted. Dr. Alex Allenson chatting to Manx Radio's John Moss.
Just to be absolutely certain, what's happened today is leave to introduce a bill regarding assisted dying. This is only the first start in a very long process. And what came out of the debate today is that people want a meaningful, not just the consultation with the public, but engagement with the public about some of the core principles behind this, about the idea of dignity in dying, about the safeguards, about the right legal, ethical and moral framework around any legislation. So this is the first step in a very long road to actually achieve that.
But surely emotion will come into this debate a great deal more perhaps than any other bit of legislation.
I think what was shown during the debate was that people were bringing their own personal experiences of death of loved ones and friends into their conversations, and I think that's very important. I think emotion should come into this debate because we are elected by our constituents to represent them. Death and the way that people die is, it can be very emotional and can be very traumatic for people. What we're talking about here is people being given the autonomy and choice to have a good death.
Some people will say, is this a time? We've got so many other things going on. Is this still time to bring this in?
There's never an easy time to have this debate, but we know on our island that people are suffering, that some people take matters into their own hands and will suicide when they're faced with imminent death. And we also know that some people are going overseas for assisted dying. Now is the time to actually make sure that we have the right capabilities to provide that choice and autonomy on our island.
And for those concerned about this being pushed through pretty quickly, extensive consultation, I would imagine.
It's not just consultation. What the House of Keys have asked for is engagement with the public, and so there will be no rush to actually draft legislation. We need to get the core principles right, the fundamental basis of any legislation, before we go forward.
Well, this excites as much comment as cannabis, legalising cannabis. This is assisted dying, however you want to call it, whether it's assisted suicide, euthanasia, palliative sedation, whatever you want to call it. That's leave to introduce, Dr. Ellenson's got. And Freya and Max dropped me a note last week just to say, why aren't you talking about this on Man in Line? Well, we've introduced the subject, and if you want to talk about it more, by all means do. And Robbie in Ballabeg left a message too. So thanks for that. And Karen just said, can you clear up what's happening with those, with the Lord Street flats? What's happening? Well, Douglas Borough Council has partnered with Dandara to create that £12.6 million social housing development. Okay, that's 66 new apartments on the former Athol Garage site on Peel Road. Two blocks are mix of one- and two-bedroom residential apartments for tenants, including a number designed for tenants with disabilities, along with parking, not much parking, landscaping and drainage infrastructure. And the story is, as well as providing housing for those in need, the scheme's going to improve living standards in Douglas. Existing tenants, 20 of the apartments are going to be allocated to families on the waiting list, with 46 families moving from existing accommodation. The Lord Street flats will no longer be used to provide housing for council tenants, and future plans for the premises will be announced in due course. You may have seen removal wagons outside the Lord Street flats. But the Lord Street flats will no longer be used to provide housing for council tenants. Future plans for Lord Street flats will be announced in due course. We'll leave it there. Thanks for getting in touch today. If you're involved in TT or at Billund, hope everything goes well, you have a good time, and above all, it's safe. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. Back tomorrow at high noon.
WINT